Welcome to this week's episode of Mountain Hawk Talk. I'm your host, Jenna Odell, a senior journalism major on the women's rowing team. And joining me today are seniors Mark Bleckman and Sean Yeager. Thanks for coming on. Yeah. And welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Of course. So this is my first time having two seniors on the show.
So really?
Yeah, it's yeah. All seniors right now. So just to jump right in, how did you guys come to playing tennis? Mark, if you want to kick it off.
Yeah, I started playing when I was around 5 or 6 for my dad. My dad was kind of the one who was really adamant about me playing tennis. He played hockey back at his home country in Latvia. And
oh, wow.
He has a lot of scars and bruises from when he played, and he wanted me to get into a non-injury sport in order to save myself from all of the, all of the injuries that I could have possibly had if I were to play another sport.
Yeah.
Just got lucky with meeting a couple people in my process during juniors that believed in me and wanted to put the time and effort for me in order to kind of maximize my potential.
Yeah.
There was one coach in particular who was really, I was practicing maybe 2 times a week when I was 14 or 15. And there was one coach that kind of, I would be playing with, and I remember one day where he went up to me and he was like, you can really take this farther than you think you can. And if you really want to play college tennis, you have the potential. And that kind of stuck with me. And I had parents who wanted to support me and were willing to fund my traveling, equipment, expenses, everything that comes with the process of building your ranking in juniors. And
yeah,
eventually when it got to recruitment, I was got to the level where I was looking at D1 schools, and Lehigh, I had a lot of people from high school that I knew, guys that I played high school tennis with, specifically Jeremy Lerner, Michael Bucalo, Zach Elliott, who were already on the team from Chicago.
Yeah.
So I had guys that I knew on the team, and which I knew coming in it was going to be a great culture, and having guys that I already knew just, meant the world. And from then on, Lehigh was always just my number one choice, and I was glad I made it happen. So now I'm here. Yeah, four years later, it feels wild, and but I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's been an amazing ride.
Yeah. So juniors is high school tennis, club tennis, or?
Yeah, kind of. I didn't take tennis as seriously as some people in juniors. Typically, if you want to be at a Power 5 school, you typically don't play high school tennis because it takes time away from playing regulated junior turn, official USTA junior tournaments.
Of course.
But I wanted to be in the team environment, take 3 months off and play with not just my teammates, but also guys that I grew up in high school with. So
yeah,
I had that opportunity. I think Sean did that too at Emmaus, and but yeah, that I wouldn't trade playing high school tennis for literally anything. It was really being on a team now, it kind of developed me as a team player.
Yeah,
especially how tennis is such an individual sport, and
right.
It led me to just be a better teammate before I got to Lehigh. So
yeah. So Sean, what about you?
Yeah, so I actually grew up playing a lot of different sports. I was mainly into soccer initially.
Twin.
And also basketball. I got into tennis at around 8 or 9, and then I grew super late. So the other sports kind of I was so small and kind of getting pushed around at a point when other guys are growing earlier, and I was still I was super small, and then I grew eventually at 18, but
that is really late.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
I was 5'6" in junior high school.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
So yeah, it was I guess that kind of pushed me more into the tennis route. But yeah, I mean, super thankful for my parents to be able to support me. And definitely fund all the traveling tournaments and stuff. All the equipment's I mean, our rackets, like bags, everything.
Yeah.
It's definitely not like a cheap sport to play.
Yeah.
So
that's where I feel like rowing and tennis are kind of similar because, like, I mean, I'm thinking of when I first was planning on having this podcast, I wanted to bring up like the types of matches that you guys have. And like, yeah. I mean, when you think of tennis, like you think of Wimbledon and like those big matches. And like when you think of rowing, like you think of Henley. And those are like people are like dressed to the nines and like super preppy. And like it's not a cheap place to go. And it's like when you think of those two sports, it's very like high profile, like high class type of like people watching. It's funny how over the course of this podcast, I've kind of realized like a lot of sports are super similar in like weird ways. Yeah. But anyways, but yeah, that's, I cannot believe you were 5'6".
I know. Yeah. I grew like, I mean, not a foot, but like close.
Dude, yeah. That's crazy.
It's weird. Yeah.
I had a similar experience. 'Cause when I was in high school, I was the tallest person in my class. But when I was in like middle school, I was lanky and short. And then I just sprouted up one summer 4 inches.
Damn.
My knees were out. Like, oh my gosh, I would go for a run and I would just complain the whole time.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is this happening to me? And then it was just because I was growing. But anyways, so you kind of gave, Mark, you kind of gave us a little bit of like your why for Lehigh. But Sean, you didn't start out here. So what was your kind of process to coming to Lehigh?
It's pretty crazy. I mean I was at Baylor,
mm-hmm.
and my mom had like a connection with one of her close friends to our coach.
Oh wow.
And I was like looking to transfer, and it just so happened that these people were like holding, like our coach was like staying at their house.
Oh my God.
Because like he had just came here and was like still looking for a place and everything. And so, yeah, like they kind of connected. I got connected with coach, and then I guess the rest was just
history.
Hit it off. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's that's a crazy like.
Yeah, it was just like so random.
Yeah, that's like kind of like fate almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so since we're all seniors, I mean, one thing that I kind of took away from my recruiting process was that we were kind of like the COVID class, and like I didn't really step foot on campus until, I don't know, like I had actually committed, and like I'd already talked to the coaches and kind of known like that I was interested in the school before I even came here. So did you guys kind of have a similar experience with that, or did you like?
I mean, I guess for Doan, it's different just because he grew up grew up around here. But for me, I committed to Lehigh without even seeing or stepping foot on.
Yeah.
Campus. Like I fully remember. When I committed, we had a different coach, but when I committed, the only thing I saw was like a video, like a minute and 30 second video of the athletic campus, which is not even like, as a student, it's not really like where you are
on campus. And, well, that's funny because when I committed, I didn't even know that there was a separate campus for athletics.
Me neither.
I like came and I was like, where do we lift?
Yeah.
And then I discovered Kundi.
Yeah.
And that was a crazy experience. And I came here knowing, like, I'm not a big driver. I don't love driving. And you have to drive everywhere. Like, you can't go to Lyft unless you have a car.
Yeah.
So that was a crazy kind of realization for me as soon as I started. But it is what it is, I guess. But
yeah.
So, yeah, you're from the area.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm from, like, 20 minutes from here.
Yeah.
I was pretty familiar. Yeah. It's. I mean, it's funny, like, I never really came over to Bethlehem a lot growing up. Like, mm-hmm. there's, like, a few restaurants that my parents and I would, like, my family, we would come to. But, like, I didn't really, wasn't, like, super familiar with the campus or anything, honestly. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm so close, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. But, yeah, COVID was definitely it was really weird. It was a really weird time, especially like for recruiting. And like, I wanted to specifically mention it to you because I knew you were from Chicago. And like, I mean, I'm from upstate New York, so I like getting here is a haul. So I remember when I was recruiting here, my mom was more in love with the school than I was. And so she like came and she was like, oh my God, it's so beautiful and perfect. And I was like, okay. What is your kind of like pre-match like routine? Like you have, like you're getting in the zone, kind of like you're getting hyped up. Like what do you guys do?
I think Don and I are like really different with that.
Also, Don? What is that?
I didn't even realize I was calling him Don. That's naturally like we call him Don. I mean, he obviously he's all like he's Sean, but his nickname, like, I don't know if you want to explain.
Yeah,
his,
but
his nickname is Donnie.
Do you have like
so growing up my nana called me Shawnee Badani, and then that kind of like the team took it as like Badoni. And then, so they just say like Don or like Donnie for short.
Yeah,
that's really funny. Actually, that's a great nickname. Yeah, do you have a lot of? Does the team have a lot of nicknames?
We got a couple.
We got Rayman, Big O.
Rayman's definitely the best one.
Yeah,
Rayman. Yeah, it's Nate Rainey on the team, so we call him Rayman.
Oh, that's so funny.
We got Bulp.
Bulp.
Yeah,
that's a fun one.
Bulp. 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 That's Benny.
Oh my God, that's so funny. That I was like, who is Don? I was like, I assumed that it was you because you were talking about him, but I was like, wait, what?
No, we got a lot of nicknames. We like to do the nicknames on the team.
That's hilarious and awesome.
We're always just like screaming out each other's nicknames during practice and stuff. So
that's so fun.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the guys on our team have some good nicknames. There's a kid named Matt. They call him Stoogie. His last name is Stugart.
That's pretty good.
Stoogie. Yeah. That's a good one. I really like that one. Anyways, so back to the question. How do you kind of, I mean, nicknames might be a way to get kind of hyped up, but either way, what's like your pregame, pre-match, like hype routine?
You want to go?
I guess I'll start. Over time, I've had to be so much more like injury preventative. Like, especially before matches, like, I remember, like, my freshman year, thinking about it is wild now, but I would kind of, like, if we had, like, a morning match, sometimes I would just wake up and just show up and go play and do a warm-up, which is terrible. But, I've learned to be more, like, over time, you know, think, like, things have happened. Yeah, and things have happened, too, like, injury scares and...
Yeah.
Like, knock on wood, I've been able to, like, stay healthy these 4 years. But over time, like, I've been incorporating new things. So, this year I've been, say we got, like, you know, tomorrow we have, like, an 11 o'clock match. I'll probably wake up at, it's like, 7:30 and, like, do, like, 20 minutes of yoga to kind of, like,
wake
up my body.
Okay, yoga.
Yeah. Like, I'm with it now.
Like,
I'm
Shavasana?
Yeah, like I got it from one of our old teammates Matt, who's really into yoga, and he would do it a lot just to like be for flexibility.
That's
like,
so awesome.
So I like learn a lot of stuff just from like being around my teammates and all
that's
that.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so I mean, 7:30 I'll probably like do yoga, grab get something to eat, and then. Shower and then probably stretch and then also meditate for like 10 minutes like
meditating
before. Yeah
bro
yeah that's why I say like Don and I are probably like so different with this stuff.
Like, yeah, true
it's but I do that and typically like I'll try to get like we try to get to the courts around an hour and a half before we start like before match time so 11 we try to get there 9:30, 9:45 and we start warming up like as a team at 9:45, 10, and just feel like ready to go. Like the things that I do in the morning, just feel ready.
That's so. Yeah. I'm trying to be like you. Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, but like again, like freshman year, I would literally show up and play, and then like
that's so funny.
The next day, I'd be like, oh, my arm hurts. Probably, like I wonder why.
You know, yeah.
Like,
I like, I'm posted up in sports med now. My freshman year, I don't think I went once for the full year.
Yeah.
And then sophomore year, I accidentally sprained my ankle, and then I had to go to sports med because, like, you can't avoid that. And then I've never looked back. I just stay posted up. If there's one place you can find me on campus, it's probably sports med. But now I'm going to start doing yoga. I really have wanted to get into meditating, so maybe you should. I got to get some tips from that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
I've just been doing it. I told myself to do it. Now it's just kind of been a routine.
So. All right. Yeah. All right, yeah. Sean. Give us the...
So mine's, like, a little different. I'm more, like, the night before type of thing.
Yeah.
I'll do... I'm really big into, like, ice bathy.
Oh.
So...
Yes.
I'll go like a lot of times the night before a match, and I'll be in the LTC, like our tennis center, like pretty late, just like doing what I need to do to feel good for the next day. Yeah. So like ice bath and stretching, I'll string my rackets, whatever. And then I'll wake up like, so for tomorrow, 9:45. Probably get up at like
9:44.
No, like fine. Maybe 8:30.
Push it in it. 8:45. Yeah,
might spam the what's it, the sleep button or whatever.
Snooze.
The snooze, yeah.
Are you guys one alarm people or multiple?
I'll do two max.
Two max?
Yeah.
I'm up here with like four or five. If I have a 7:15 lift, I have an alarm set for 6:15, 6:30.
Okay.
6:35 maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean that's early. I can see, yeah, for like early, maybe three I do, but if it's like,
well, because then like if I wake up at six, I'm allowing myself like at least 30 more minutes of just like rest time and sleep time. And, like, I'm not actually, like, going back into REM, but, like, eyes closed. Like, it's preparation.
I prefer just, like, the hope to wake up at, like, 3 and think that it's, like,
time
got,
to
like,
get
30.
Up.
Yeah, think that you got, like, 30 minutes, but really you got, like,
three hours.
Yeah. That's the best.
That is the best.
But, yeah, then I'll probably, I take a lot of, like, cold showers in the morning.
I've heard that those are amazing.
I don't know. Yeah.
Like, they're really good for you.
I just like, I'm in the habit of doing it, especially on match days. I don't know if it's like good or not because
it
feel like.
It is good. I've heard it's very good.
Yeah. I don't know. Like.
It gets you like.
It definitely wakes me up.
Yeah.
That's like the good thing. I don't think it like. I don't want to think it like takes away too much of my energy or
it
like my body's energy, but.
I got to look it up again, but it does something for like your immune system or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I
like
think
it is
good for your immune system.
I think it's good.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen something about this where like it is good for you, like your actual body. But yeah.
Yeah.
So ice baths, cold showers.
Yeah, I'll do that and then try to get some food in me.
Are
get
you
over
like
the courts.
Nervous? Are you like sick stomach people or like you eat
at
fine?
This point? No. Like I'm just kind of used to the you know, the pressure of going into matches, it's definitely something that, like, you need to just, over time, it gets, like, easier and easier.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But who is a player that you look up to, whether that be someone you know or someone, like a professional athlete or doesn't have to be tennis, could be anyone?
I have one. I mean, Don's thinking of one, but I look up to Djokovic a lot. Djokovic is, like, somebody that I've always, like, watched throughout. And he's also, like, somebody that as he's – I feel like he's gotten – one thing that I've seen is, like, he's gotten better as he's gotten older.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been trying to do, like, again, with, like, the yoga and the meditating stuff. Like, part of the reason why I do that is also because he – he does it like in his in his books, and when people interview him, he always talks about those kind of things that like make him better. So,
mm-hmm.
just been trying to, you know, do what the best are doing, and he's just gotten better as he's gotten older. So it's just something like so like insane to see.
Yeah.
I'd say, I mean, looking up, I probably look up to, like, I mean, any, like, the big three, Djokovic in terms of just, like, his competitive nature, Federer in terms of just, like, how he handles himself on court, and, I mean, Nadal's, like, I guess a combination of those two things. Yeah, just they're obviously great examples to look up to.
It's so awesome. I know who all of those people are. Yeah. I did not think that I was going to know any of those. Yeah. My roommate is Serbian, so we know Djokovic.
Yeah.
We know him.
Yeah, he's super big in Serbia. I know that. He's like a hero there.
Yeah. She loves him. Yeah. I mean, kind of similar in a sense, but, like, do you have a mentor that you look up to? Maybe not, like, a player, but someone that's, like, kind of helped you along the way.
For sure. For sure. I mean, I can talk about my, like, kind of my first 2 years because, like, wasn't here at the time. But my freshman year, we had, like, I really looked up to our captains a lot, as any freshman would.
Yeah, of course.
Zach and Gary. It was Zach and Gary. And the way they would kind of handle practices and the way they – complimented each other and just kind of went about their business was super cool to see.
Yeah.
As as a freshman, just like learning how to handle losses and like handle the bad moments is like, with any season, like there are going to be moments like that. I think that they just handled it so well. And the other thing about them was that they, whenever they said something, it was like everybody, you could tell, like, everybody, like, stopped what they're doing, you know, when they
listened. And
when they started talking, everybody listens. So, I mean, it was just, like, the amount of, it's kind of, like, shows, like, the amount of respect that not only I had, but the team had for them during my freshman year. And during my sophomore, junior year, our captains, Matt and Jordan, were unbelievable with, like, just – battling the tough moments and the things that we had to deal with as a team. Just kind of like going, you know, thinking back in my mind, the things that we had to go through in terms of not just wins and losses, but as a team, whether it's like mental struggles or just things going on outside the court, they were just guys that were always there for us. So
it's almost like they commanded a room in a sense, like, but without really trying. Because everyone, like, respected them.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I think the way Matt and Jip, like, kind of went about, I guess, like, being captains last year was, I mean, it was great. Like, I really miss those guys. But as a mentor, probably, I mean, my dad, just, I guess, not even, like, tennis-wise, just, like, how to treat people. And, always looked up to him, so.
Yeah. I, like, everyone always says that I talk about my dad on this podcast because he is quite literally the reason I started in sports. Like, he kind of pushed me. He was track and field and basketball. And, like, he held so many records. Like, he was inducted into his, like, high school Hall of Fame recently. Like, insane guy. And I didn't really realize, like, the level of, like, commitment that he had until probably when I started getting recruited, because he sat me down. He was like, all right, like, you're a decent rower. Like, do you want to go D1 or do you just kind of want to cruise through and like just go to a state school? And I was like, you know what? Shoot. I think that'd be kind of cool to go D1. And during COVID, my dad coached me and he quite literally got me to where I am right now. So I get the dads as a mentor thing. He's like the coolest person I know. And like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, he's the reason I'm an athlete. But yeah, so definitely get that. And so you also, Mark, you said that you kind of went through a coaching change because same.
Yeah, I guess like talking about like when I committed to like a new coach coming in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So by the time I got there with like coach, like for the first week, I felt like I knew him for like my whole life.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was the kind of the way like our coach came into the team. He's somebody that just like believes in us no matter what.
Yeah.
So he just, I mean, he's been there. He's trusted me during times that like I didn't even like trust myself. So
yeah.
Yeah, he's been amazing for me. So.
So kind of like match wise, do you prefer singles or doubles? Because weren't you guys a little pair or no?
Yeah, we played doubles.
Yeah.
I would say doubles. Doubles is just like more fun, maybe more energy. It's fun playing with this guy. He just like riles me up. He brings a lot of energy, so it's pretty easy being out there with him. But yeah, I'd say doubles.
Wholesome content.
I mean, at times I'm like, I think a lot of people that have been with me too, like past alumni, will say I'm like crazy.
Yeah, he's
like
crazy.
I'm nuts. Like I'm totally different. Like totally different. Like on court, but I would say doubles too because college tennis has really brought like the best out of us. Like doubles wise,
mm-hmm.
with college tennis, the way it works is like, it's the format of. Like competition just makes it super fast.
Yeah.
And like if you just blink, an entire match can just go by and you'll have no idea what like literally just happened. Like that's what happened my freshman year. I was just kind of all of a sudden like the match is over because it's only one set to six instead of like
you gotta
two
be locked
sets.
In from the start.
Yeah. And instead of two sets, three sets, it's one set to six with and if you're tied, it's like a sun death point at
oh,
Deuce.
Man.
So it's just a lot of pressure and a lot of things moving so fast. So if you're not like a little crazy and a little like amped,
it's like
anything can happen. And that just what makes it so much more fun. So it's
that's so awesome.
Yeah.
And so is there like, I mean, maybe it's different from doubles to singles, but is there like a specific strategy that you guys use or does it kind of differ from game to game? And I mean, you can kind of keep it broad. We don't want to reveal our secrets or anything, but
I don't think we really got secrets. when Sean's serving, I pretty much just give him the ball. I tell him to hit a serve, and I'll just like normally just pops up to me, and I just smash it because they can't return his serve.
Yeah,
it's the funniest thing ever. It's like so easy, like. Being up at the net and them, like, they can barely get a racket on his serve, and I just, like, stand there and put away, like, garbage shots and stuff. it's super funny to, like, to watch. But when I'm serving, he's just, like, I try to, like, pick spots and just, like, set Sean up for, like, the easiest possible shot to put the ball away, and that's kind of what doubles is about, just setting up your partner.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's... Playing with him, especially like somebody as big as Sean, like that's like what?
How tall are you?
Like 6'4". Like 6'4" and like lanky, that can just like get anything. It's like just been super. It's made doubles and just tennis so much easier. So it's been fun. Yeah.
Nice. Good job, Sean.
Thanks. I guess. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Doubles. I mean, I don't know. It's. We try to keep it pretty simple, not do anything too, like, I don't know. We like to play with big, high percentage, like, tennis, I guess you could say. So not going for anything too crazy and playing with what our opponents give us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. What are you kind of, like, thinking about? Like in your brains, because I know for me, like my brain just goes black, like no thought, nothing. My coach after a piece will be like, "So what were you thinking about?" And I was like, I honestly could not tell you. Like, I do not remember after a piece. And I don't know if that's just because, like, I'm so amped up. Like, even if I do have a thought, I just forget afterwards. But, like, do you kind of have, like, a mental place that you go to in a match?
I mean, I like to be pretty aware of my thoughts, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I should be try to stay.
I like to try to stay like pretty positive. Like if I notice like any like negative thoughts coming in, like obviously that's not like a good. It's not good to be thinking. Those negative thoughts. So.
Yeah, we don't want negativity.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, especially in singles, like. Just try to always, well, I guess singles and doubles, always just try to have a plan. Our coach always tells us that. So I always try to, you know, go into a point with some sort of plan and be thinking about that. And then, like, once I'm off the court, I'm kind of the same. Like, I don't really remember a lot, like, of what I was maybe thinking in the moment or all that, but... Yeah, just, like, trying to stay in the moment, be present.
Yeah.
And just have some sort of plan.
Yeah. Mark, what about you?
I think it's totally different, like, depending on how well you're playing or what the score is. Because, like,
that's a good point.
If you're winning – in tennis, like, if you're winning, it feels like you, like, see the future. It's like you can, like, you just exactly know what shot is coming. Like, you know exactly where the ball is going to be. You know exactly what – where how to set up your feet. But if you're losing, it's like the worst thing ever. You're just like, it's almost like your mind is going against yourself and like you don't believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Which is like in a way torture, like trying to like get yourself over the line, but at the same time you're fighting against yourself. That's kind of like how brutal tennis is in a way. It's like nobody can really see what's going on, but in your head it's like back and forth with just like the craziest thoughts and like trying to get yourself over that line, as I said.
So. I feel like the mental game is really similar between like what you guys are saying and how what I go through in rowing, because when you're having a good piece, you feel like you're flying. Like I literally feel like I could finish a piece. I mean, a 2K is about 8 minutes. I feel like I could finish that piece in like 4 seconds. Like, I feel like I'll be over the line and I'll just be like, let's go. But when you have a bad piece, you feel like you're crumbling and you feel like you literally can't take another stroke. It's like insane. And it's literally just a mental game, because when I am thinking like, you can do this and you've done this before and you just need to like get like 10 more strokes, like you just thinking about it that way makes it so much easier. As in, like, if I'm kind of thinking in a more negative way and I'm saying like these splits are not good enough, like it's literally, it feels like I'm crawling. But what are your favorite sports to watch? Because I know, honestly, I used to live next door to a tennis family and they would watch tennis like religiously, and it's like a crazy sport to watch. Like, it's super fun. But do you like watching tennis? Like, do you have it like on your screen at home? Like, what's the, or are you more like,
I mean, I'll watch some tennis just to like, maybe, get some sort of like, I guess, strategy out, like watch how like they play and maybe be inspired, like that type of thing. But just like a sport that I like watching, probably be like basketball. I love college basketball and college football. I mean, college basketball, college football are like those are my go-to, I'd say.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I like to watch tennis too, just because I like to like analyze, like see what this guy's doing, what that guy's doing, like their game styles and stuff like that. But like, typically, I don't watch tennis. Like, I can't watch like if I'm watching Wimbledon.
Yeah,
like, I can't watch a 3-4 hour match and like sit and watch the whole time. And I think that's one of the problems with tennis too, is that it's just such a long, like it's such a long grind, like a long battle. Whereas like, I don't know, I feel like it's not the same almost for some sports, but yeah. where it goes for 3, 4, 5 hours.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but I've been getting into hockey. I was getting back into hockey after the Four Nations tournament, but I also like hockey because there's like not many breaks.
Yeah. Too.
Like if you're like, yeah. there's always something going on. There's always somebody getting checked or like something happening or the puck is going
flying
somewhere.
Yeah. like into someone's face.
Yeah. That's what I love about hockey. And I used to go to games with my dad too. I was a big like Blackhawks fan.
Yeah.
When I was younger, with my dad, and we would always go. So kind of reminds me of like my younger like time in Chicago, but also hockey's awesome. So
I used to live next door. My neighborhood was wild when I was little, but I used to live next door to the Buffalo Sabres coach.
No way.
Yeah.
My roommate is like the biggest Sabres fan.
Really? Ever. I live next door to the old coach.
He watches them lose like every night. It's so funny. That is so
fun fact.
What's his name?
Danny Lambert. Oh. A long time ago. Yeah. But yeah. I used to be a hockey person. Yeah. And then I mean rowing is a weird sport to watch because each race is like literally a minute. It's like 8 minutes and then it's over. Not even 6 max maybe. For men it's like 5. But like there's certain events, so like the whole day is hours long, and if you miss their race, it's kind of like a track meet. Like if you miss their race, like it's over, sorry, like can't really do anything for you, like sucks. But so it's really funny, my parents hated going to regattas because they'd like have to get up at 4:30 in the morning, wait until like 10 for our race, and then drive like 6 hours home. I was like, sorry guys. Anyways, so last question of the day. What's a fun fact about you? I end every podcast with this question.
Damn, fun fact about me.
I know, it's the hardest one, really.
I have a younger half brother.
Wow.
Named Jack, who's 13.
Oh.
So I have a brother, but he's not into tennis much. He hates tennis.
Oh, my God.
It's so fun. I find it hilarious that he just, like, doesn't. I've been trying to get him into tennis whenever I'm back home.
And really?
He just, like, can't stand it. Like, he can't pay attention to things, like, longer than, 15 minutes.
Like, his attention span is, like, a second.
Yeah.
13-year-olds, I feel like.
I'm pretty good at golf. I, like,
Oh, wow.
I played high school golf,
Wow.
I love golf, too, so.
I work at a country club at home.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've gotten into golf.
Yeah.
Sean and Mark, thanks again for joining me on the podcast today. I look forward to talking to you more again soon, and be sure to like Lehigh Athletics on Facebook. And follow Lehigh Sports on Instagram and X to stay up to date with all of your news on the Mountain Hawks.
Go Birds.
Yeah. Ragged.